own power, by our own righteousness, but by his mercies we are not consumed. So within the next 2 minutes, I want us to lift up our voices and begin to appreciate him for counting us worthy among the living. Not only are we alive, but we are also of sound mind and sound head. Begin, lift up your voices and begin to appreciate him.
We worship you, our God. You are
worthy. Just let him know that you are grateful. I know you have prayed in your house before you came.
We give you all.
But this is a congregational prayer now. Tell him that you are grateful.
We give you.
Worship him.
We give you
this worthy. This worthy.
Oh, we give you.
In Jesus' mighty name we worship. And so our Heavenly Father, we thank you. Without any reservation in our heart, we give you all the glory. All worship. Father, receive our worship this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we're about to start the service now. Lord, we pray that as we begin this service, Lord, we pray that you take preeminence in the name of Jesus Christ. We commit everything we shall do in your presence this day into your hands, Lord. We pray that you have your way in the name of Jesus Christ. We commit all our brethren on their way and all our brethren that will be joining us all over the world. We pray that today's service, we make a great impact in our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray that you bless our worship, you bless our praises, you bless our study, you bless every section of this service today in the name of Jesus Christ. Our Father, we have come to worship you. We have expectations, and your words assure us. You say you've not called the house of Jacob to seek you in vain. As we have come this day, Lord, we pray that whatsoever that is our heart's desire, that before we leave this service, O Lord, that you grant it in the name of Jesus Christ. Let today's service not be an ordinary service. Let it be a service of divine encounter in the name of Jesus Christ. That somebody at the end of today's service will say, of a truth, he or she encountered you. Let it be our reality in the name of Jesus Christ. Some will be coming in expectation of healing. Father, may you grant their desires in the name of Jesus. Some will be coming with the expectation of deliverance. Father, we pray that you meet such at the point of their needs in the name of Jesus Christ. Above all, Lord, we pray that our relationship with you after today's service will become much more better than it was before we came, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, dependable Father, for in Jesus' most powerful name we pray. For in Jesus' most glorious name we pray. Do something for the Lord. You may be seated. You are welcome to this glorious service of the Lord. And as you have come to worship the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, it will do what you cannot do for yourself, for you, in the name of Jesus Christ. The service has begun. So let's get seated and go straight into our Sunday school. We want to, it's a continuation of what we started last week. Even though we are going into an aspect that is a bit different, but it's a continuation. So for me to be sure that we are following, I would like someone to remind us the topic of our last study in the Sunday school. Coordinator, pass the mic to the congregation. Let us be sure so that whether we will repeat last week's class or we proceed.
Praise the Lord. What is righteousness?
You were not present. You were not in the class. That was not. What is righteousness was 2 weeks topic. We took another topic last week.
Understanding the relationship plans of God.
You tried. I give you a clap, but you didn't get it. Give it to me.
Understanding redemption.
Good. Give it to her. Now she has remembered now.
Redemption understanding plan. Redemption plan through covenants.
Put your hands together for her. Understanding redemption plan through covenants. That's very good. That's very good. Understanding redemption plan through covenants. Now, if you from Genesis to Revelation, if you study your scriptures, you will agree that all what the Lord is talking about is all about our redemption after man fell. And the various covenants that God entered into with man is to make that plan of redemption to be clear, to be easily seen. And that's all what we look at. And I would also like to ask this second question to be sure we are following. We enumerated 5 covenants in that teaching that God entered with man to make his redemption plan very clear. When man fell, God has a plan of have eternal covenant relationship with man. Just in a summary now. But this eternal covenant relationship was truncated by the sin. And immediately, God ignited a redemption plan to restore that covenant relationship. And this redemption plan was made clear through those various covenants. So who can tell us those 5 covenants? You may not list them accordingly, but if you have the... Is she the only one? Okay, let's... Please make it very, very snappy. We're on a very fast lane because we must end this.
Praise the Lord. We made mention of covenant with Noah.
Noah, yes.
Covenant with Abraham.
Yes.
Covenant with David.
Yes.
Covenant with Daniel.
No. No. Okay, let her help you out. Let her complete it for him.
Covenant with Moses.
Can you list it completely? Or you just want to help him? Who can list those 5 covenants? It's for us to know. We want to be sure whether we should repeat the
Praise
class.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Covenant with Noah.
Yes.
Covenant with Abraham.
Yes.
Covenant with Moses.
Yes.
Covenant with David.
Yes.
Covenant with Samuel.
Say the last one.
Samuel.
The new covenant. Put your hands together for the Lord. Yes. At least with this, we cannot repeat the class. We need to move forward. At least we've seen evidence that people are following. Can we celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ for that? They are following. For all those various covenants, if you look at them, and they say the new covenant is a fulfillment of all the previous covenants. And the picture was so clear. I said that through the covenant he had with Noah, he preserved the world so that he would be able to fulfill the promise he has made of saving the mankind through the seed of that woman. Genesis 3:15. I would say he preserved the world through Noah. And what? Initiated redemption. Through who? Through Abraham. I said he initiated redemption. And established Israel. Through who? Through Moses. And promised the eternal, promised the king. Through who? David. And he fulfills the covenant through the Lord Jesus Christ, the new covenant. Is it clear? Is it clear? So the old covenants were progressively developed from Noah to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are looking at the new topic we are looking at today is the seal of the covenant. Still, the seal of the covenant. Every serious covenant is always accompanied by a seal. We can write down the topic, the seal of the covenant. The seal of the covenant is today's covenant. So it's still a continuation. Every serious covenant between a man and a woman or between two parties, if it is a formal agreement, it must be accompanied by a seal. So what is a seal? The next, seal has so many meanings. Even from the business angle, marriage angle, relationship. But in a biblical term, it says a seal is a visible sign that confirms the validity of a covenant or agreement. Or to break it down, it's a visible sign or a symbol, something that you will see that will let you know there is a covenant or an agreement between two parties in biblical context. Sealed in the business world. The business is already sealed up. This thing is sealed. Seal connotes many things, but as regards the covenants in the scripture, it's a visible, something you'll be able to see that confirms the validity of a truth. There is a covenant between two parties. And a good example, the married men and married women among us, can you show me the token, the seal of your covenant relationship with your spouse? Can you show me? Can you show me? Can you show me? Raise your hand now if you're following. Can you show me? If anybody sees this with you, it's a reminder that you are in a covenant relationship with your what? With your spouse. It's not only to you alone, but to everybody that sees it. This is a typical seal. It's a visible, we can see it. Once you see on a man's finger, on a woman's finger, you will know. There is a what? A covenant, an established covenant between two people. If it's a woman, it's in a covenant relationship with her husband. And if it is a man, it is in a covenant relationship with his wife. That's a very good example. That's a very good example. Yes. Now, in the scripture, the next slide. The rainbow seal. Thank God it was established generations long ago. But today we still see the, we are still seeing the token. We are still seeing the sign. So we say the rainbow seal. The rainbow serves as what? A visible sign of God's covenant with Noah to never again destroy the world with flood. Each time it rains, or maybe the weather is cloudy, we are seeing that rainbow sign. It is a reminder. It is a token of the promise that God made with Noah and his generations, his, all the living creatures, that he will never again destroy the world with a what? Let's read Genesis chapter 9, verse 12 to 17. It's a token. It's a visible symbol. When you see, and God said, this is the token of the covenant which I made between me and you and every living creature. That is why we still see it today. That is with you for perpetual generation. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. Verse 14. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all the flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of flesh that is upon the earth. You can see? That is why we still see it today. Do you still see the rainbow today? And when you see it, what does it remind you? Eh? It reminds us of the covenant that God will... But God, hope you know, God will still destroy the world. Hope you know. But it will not destroy it again with a what? With what? Flood. What will it destroy it with now? You are a good Bible student. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. So that's a very good seal of the covenant. The next one. The next slide. Another seal. The seal of circumcision. The seal of circumcision. We all know circumcision is the removal of the first thing, the foreskin of the male reproductive organ. This is the covenant that God gave to Abraham and his descendants to keep. And it's a seal. It's a visible sign. Let's read. This circumcision was an outward symbol, something that will be seen on the outside, or a sign representing a what? A commitment to God, signifying that the circumcised individual, that every male that is circumcised belongs to God's chosen people and is bound to the covenant through a visible mark on their body. Essentially, it is acting as a what? A tangible symbol of their dedication of God's promises and law. It is seen as a cutting away of sin and a commitment to life of dedicated to God. That's the circumcision, which we all know. It is the removal of the first skin of the reproductive organ, of the male reproductive organ. God gave it to Abraham. That day, Abraham circumcised himself, Ishmael, and all the male child in his house. And what is the essence of that circumcision? Even though we know it is a visible sign, it is a sign to remind them that they have a covenant to keep the law, the commandment of God. It is a visible sign to always remind them that they are not like every other person, that they are a set of people set apart from the rest, that have been given the laws to keep. They are supposed to be a holy people unto God. So that is why the circumcision, the seal of circumcision, is given. That each time they see that visible mark on them, is to be a reminder that they are not like every other person, that they have been set apart to keep the laws of God, that they are supposed to be a set of holy people unto God, that they are brought out. If you read Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6, the descendants say, "Now therefore, if ye obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye," pay attention, "and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation." Is that not what First Peter is also telling us? We get there. "These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, holy nation, to keep the laws of God, not to be mixed with the rest." They are totally separated. The circumcision, pay attention, it is not about that, the visible sign. The visible sign is a reminder. It's to always remind them that they have a commandment, they have laws of God to keep. It's to remind them that they are not like every other nation, that they are totally separated apart unto God. Praise the Lord. But as much as the Jews, the descendants of Abraham, they were keeping into the circumcision, the visible sign. But what that visible sign is to achieve, they were not keeping to it. The laws, what is the essence of the circumcision? If the original purpose for which it is made is not fulfilled. And that is what Apostle Paul is telling us. Let's see what our apostle is telling us in the book of Romans. To let you know, that circumcision, the seal of circumcision that he gave to them, what that seal is supposed to achieve. The next slide. The next slide. Okay? So under the new covenant, it was because the seal of circumcision that was given to, it was because the purpose for which it's given was not being achieved. That was what necessitated a new covenant. That was what made that covenant to be even discontinued, because the purpose was not being achieved. Now, Apostle Paul is telling us what that circumcision is supposed to achieve, the essence of it. If you read Romans chapter 2, let's take it from verse 22. Let's take it from verse 22 so we can get the true picture. That you will know that the circumcision is about the law to keep. It's not really about the visible sign. Said that thou that said a man should not commit adultery, does thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, does thou commit sacrilege? You see, he's talking about the law. Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonoring thou God. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profited, if thou keepest the law. Can you see now? Are you seeing it now? The circumcision is of value. It is beneficial if you are keeping the law. You can see, it's not about just doing this. It is to achieve something. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made what? Uncircumcision. Read on. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the unrighteousness of the law, this is the Gentile, they are not circumcised now, and yet they are keeping the, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? Verse 28. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Pay attention to this. Neither is the circumcision which is outward in the flesh. It's clarifying it. It is not about that outward. It is about, there is an inward truth which has to do with the law of God to be kept, which even Adam could not keep, because could not keep after he has fallen. Now, verse 29. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is what? Is that of the heart. That is circumcision. It is the circumcision of the heart by the Spirit. In the Spirit and not in the letter, whose faith is not of men, but of God. The key thing he's saying there is that that circumcision, it is not about the visible sign. What it's about is about the keeping. Is to that sign should remind you that you have a responsibility to keep the law. The next scripture. Now, let's see what he's saying. The same Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 7:19. He says, circumcision is nothing. Can you see? It's of no value. And our own circumcision is also of no value. But what? What is the main thing? But the keeping of the commandment of God. Hope it's getting clearer. Okay, let's take another scripture. Because we bring this thing and link it to the new covenant. The next slide, another scripture. I think that should be Colossians, to let us know. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Let's read it. See, talking about. So we need to understand what that circumcision is to achieve. Look at it. He's talking about Jesus. Say, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. You will know that what was happening in the Old Testament was like a symbol. In putting off the body of sins of the flesh, the sinful nature must be what? Must be circumcised by the circumcision of Christ. So what was happening in the Old Testament about that circumcision is actually speaking of something that will be achieved in the new covenant. Let's take more scripture to let us get a clearer understanding of another scripture. Galatians chapter 5 and 6. Say, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything. Say, does not profit. Now, if you are in Christ, not on circumcision, but what? Faith which worketh by love. Do you know, it's making clear. It's making it clear that even the commandment you are to keep, but if you are not by faith, you have believed what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, now you are now walking in love. Love covereth the multitude of sin. When you are in love, the God kind of love, even the commandment. That is why he says the first and the greatest commandment is talking about what? Love. The last scripture, Galatians 6:15. He said, For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor what? Uncircumcision. But what? A new creation. What is he talking about? A new creation. What he's saying is this. In a new covenant. When you are in a new covenant and the Spirit of Christ is in you, then the heart will be what? Circumcised. The same nature that is making you not to keep the commandment is already removed. That is what 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Say, when a man being in Christ, is what? A new creation. All things have passed away. There is a Spirit of God in you now that same nature, that with the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that he has circumcised, cut off. And by that Spirit, you'll be able to live in obedience to the commandment of God. So, do we still need the physical circumcision in the new covenant? Do we still need the physical circumcision in the new covenant? But is there still circumcision in the new covenant? The circumcision in the new covenant is what? Circumcision of the heart. And is done by what? By the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Ghost. Put your hands together for the Lord. So, that is what? When this physical circumcision was not achieving the purpose for which it was given, a new covenant was necessitated. That's why in Jeremiah 31, verse 31, say a new covenant. How is going to bring about it? Say, behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant did break. Are you seeing? Although I was an husband unto them, said the Lord, verse 33. But this shall be the new covenant. This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my law in their what? Inward path. That is where after the heart has to be what? Circumcised. And write it in their what? In their heart. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So this, the, let's go to the slide. The summary. So in summary, circumcision, which symbolizes holiness to God by cutting off of that sinful nature and unrighteousness, was a sign that pointed to the new birth. The new birth that had been brought about through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you are in a new covenant established by the blood of Jesus, the physical circumcision is not necessary because the Spirit of Jesus in you has circumcised your heart. Praise the Lord. Now, pay attention for me. Pay very rapt attention because teaching establishes us in our walk with God. Now, we are in a new covenant. The old covenant, like he has promised in Genesis, in that Jeremiah 31, verse 31. The old covenant, it has been set aside, the new covenant that he has promised. Now, the new covenant, now we are looking at the seal of the covenant. What is the seal of the new covenant? You know, it is after this study, I began to correct myself. For before now, I've always thought that the seal of the new covenant is the blood of Jesus. That's why I will say, oh, anytime I am praying, and I'm praying and praying, I will be telling God, I am in a covenant sealed by the blood of Jesus. How many of you make such utterance? It's common, but it is a wrong statement to say I am in a covenant sealed by the blood of Jesus. It's a wrong statement to make. The blood of Jesus is not the seal. It's the blood of Jesus Christ is what? Is what I established. He did not seal it. He established without his blood on the cross of Calvary there is no forgiveness of sin. It was because our forgiveness was brought about by his blood. Established. What brought about that new covenant? It's his blood. It's one that establishes. But the sealing of our covenant with our God is what we want to look at. By the time we finish, it will be properly understood. The seal of the Holy Spirit, the seal of the new covenant is the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Let's read Ephesians chapter 1. It's the seal of the new covenant. In whom, this is talking about Jesus. He said, in whom you also trusted, after ye had the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believed, and ye were what? Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14. Which is the earnest, I think this is the deposit, of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of God. Mark 16, verse 16 says, Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Say, he that believe and what? Well, he that believe and is baptized shall be saved. Once you have heard the message, you believe it. Now, the sealing of the covenant, the sealing that you are now part of the kingdom, is the token of God, the Spirit of God released to you. Are we following? The sealing that your salvation, that you are now part of God's covenant family, is the token. It's a token. It's a symbol. It's a part of God, of His Spirit, given as a deposit to guarantee that you are part of His family. Praise the Lord. So, that is it. The Holy Spirit is a seal of your covenant with God. It is a token of God's Spirit in you to let you know that the salvation you have is truly from God. Another scripture, Ephesians 4:30. And give not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. When you say you are saved, that your salvation is complete. After you have repented, your sins are washed away, the final point of your salvation is when you are sealed with what? With the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. The sealing of your salvation is a token of God. And we say seal is a what? A visible sign. A visible sign, symbol that shows a covenant that has been established. Now, if this is where you need to pay attention, if the Holy Spirit, because it is very worrisome and disturbing that some people will say, I don't know if I am saved. The meaning of that statement is that I don't know if I have become a member of the family of God. I don't know if I am now part of God's family. I don't know whether I am now in eternal covenant relationship with God. Christian makes a statement, I don't know. Our God is not an author of confusion. Our God does not want any of His children to be in confusion or doubt of His what? Of His salvation. That is why, for you to know that your salvation is complete, He put a seal. So how do you know that you are in a covenant relationship with Him? Every formal serious covenant relationship, I told you, is accompanied by what? A seal. There must be a seal of the Holy Spirit in you. But there's a danger in the Christendom. Many think that they are sealed because they are speaking in tongues. And that is the confusion. Many think they are sealed because they are members of Red Assembly Church. Many think they are sealed because they are now a worker, or because they are now a preacher, a pastor, a prophet. It's a visible sign. Zeal is a visible sign that you will see. Now, you have the Holy Spirit. What is the visible sign that you will see? Is it the speaking in tongues? It's a token of God in you. That's what that two scriptures we wrote was talking about. What will you see? The fruit of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. There must be something in you. The fruit of a tree. A tree is known by what? By its fruit. The fruit that you bear is the visible sign, is the seal. Because if an apple cannot bear, I said we go into another mystery. A tree, apple will bear fruit of apple. An orange will bear the fruit of an orange. Now, the fruit that you bear will show. So, no believer, a revelated believer, should be in doubt whether he's saved or not. Because there is a visible sign. There is a seal of God. The Spirit of God in you that will reflect in your character. You can't say you are sealed and you are still manifesting devil. All of us, we are under the seal of Satan before. Until what? We get that. We get there. We get there. So, before I go further, let's look at three functions that a seal achieves. Every seal that you see. Said, okay, we've not taken the third scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 22. The third scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 22. IT. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Okay. 2 chapter 22. Okay, verse 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 22, sorry. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, I read. Please, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. Who hath also sealed us, this is it, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest, that is a deposit, of the Spirit in our heart. He has given us a token of His Spirit. When you say you are born again, you receive the Holy Ghost, it is a token of God's Spirit in you, and that is the sealing. Now, let's look at the three functions that every seal performs. What does the seal mean? A seal has three main functions, which the Holy Spirit also performs. Every seal you see, on anything, on a document, on a package, what does it do? That seal on any package, on any comment, it authenticates. Authenticate means it tells you that the package is what? Genuine. It's authentic. It's original. That the source is not fake. So when God gives you a spirit, it's to let you know the salvation He has offered you, it is what? True salvation. It is not a true salvation. God, we have fake salvation. We have fake what? Salvation. If you are saying you are sealed and you are manifesting the character of devil, it means the source of your salvation is fake. Am I communicating? It means your spirit that has sealed you is not of God. If because that is by their fruit we shall know them. The visible sign that you see about the fruits of God, the fruit that you are bearing, must reflect the spirit in you. So the seal authenticates. Okay, 2 days ago, I got a document. It's a land survey of a property. Immediately, the dispatcher handed it over to me. The first thing I checked from that document is what? It is the seal on it. Because if that seal is missing, I will begin to question the originality, the authenticity of that document. The same thing with your international passport. Once that seal is not there, you begin to suspect whether it is true. So God does not want us to be doubting whether the salvation He has given to us is fake or is not valid. He gives us a seal, His spirit. Our character, by the time we manifest, will resemble the character of God. Because you will definitely manifest the spirit in you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Say, all government are known to be what? Authentic. By what? By their zeal. The Holy Spirit proves the authenticity of our salvation. If you read Ephesians, which we have read before, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 30 to 14, we've read it. It is a deposit of God's spirit. And when you have that spirit, you will know by the fruit that you bear, if truly that you have God or you have devil. That's what Jesus Christ saw the Pharisees. He saw them. He said, he said you are of your what? Your father, the devil. That was a visible sign. He saw it. He saw it in them. Praise the Lord. What is another function that the seal performs? The next slide. Three functions, and you see it clearly in operation in our life. A seal shows what? Ownership. A seal, when a letter is sealed, you know, definitely you cannot touch it except it is your name on it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22, we have read it before. It says, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. The Spirit he has given belongs to him. It shows ownership. When God has given you his Spirit, is to let you know that you belong to him. Pay attention. A seal was used to brand cattle and slaves to show ownership. In the ancient times, when you see a seal on any cattle or slave, you know the owner of those cattle. Even in our days, when you see a seal on any package or any letter, you don't go near it except you are the what? You are the owner. This is what God has done in sealing us with the Holy Spirit. He has put his mark of ownership on us. And this is very important, that everyone seated here now or listening to me in any part of the world, you must be sure if you have the mark of God. And what is that mark? What is that mark? It's the Holy Spirit. Because when the rapture will take place, it is only those that he has marked that we go. And as God is marking his own, devil is also marking his own. And the evidence that devil has marked you is that you don't give heed to the word of God now. The revealed truth be preached to you. What you need to do for your salvation, when it is being preached to you, you turn it down. For the Spirit that wrote this word, it is that same Holy Spirit. If it is the Holy Spirit, the mark of God that you have in you, when the word is presented to you, there will be an agreement. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So this is what God has done in sealing us with the Holy Spirit. He has put his mark of ownership on us. It's our God, and we are his people. How many people seated there are God's people? If you know you belong to the God's family, put your hands together for the Lord. But please, it is not by confession. It is by what? It is by what? An experience. You don't just become, you don't confess it. I am part of God's family. And say it, you are a member of it. No, you must go through an experience. You must be converted. The nature must be changed. His Spirit must be given to you. That's why you say that you are in a covenant relationship with him. You are of him, and he is your father. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay? I said, God has put a seal of ownership on us, declaring us as his property and possession. The last thing, the third thing that a seal is to achieve. A seal is to achieve what? Security. What did I say? I can't hear you. Security. Every seal that you see, when a letter is sealed, it must not be tampered with. It's secured. It's secured. Another definition of a seal is a thing by which you fasten something together. You join something together so that nothing can come in between it. Nothing. If you see an envelope, there is a seal on it. And when you put that seal, the envelope will be sealed together. And when you see, except when it is sealed together like that, that means that letter, that parcel is what? Secured. Nothing will come into the content except the only two things is that if you purchase the right of what? Ownership. And he's speaking of something. Praise the Lord. The seal was also used for security as it is in our day and age. We steal letter packages, canned goods, etc. The seals show that they are not to be opened by anyone unless that letter or that package has their name on it, or we have purchased the thing sealed. The sealing of the Spirit is the means by which God undertakes to bring his people safely to their final destination. This is very deep. When God has sealed you, it means he has put his seal on you by giving you the Holy Ghost. It means he has concluded his salvation plan on you, and nothing will take you away from him until you get to what? Destination. Is that not speaking about what? Eternal security. Once you are saved, but be sure that you are saved. Be sure that he has sealed you. Because if you assumed it, you can be tampered with. You can be unsaved. If you assume that you are saved and you are not truly saved, you must be sure that you are truly saved. If you are sure he has given you the Holy Spirit and you see the signs, the visible signs around you, people can even see around you, then you can be rejoicing every day of your life. That come what may, whether in fire, in water, in no matter the circumstances, you are on your way to the what? To the glory land. Put your hands together for the Lord. Let's read that for emphasis. Let's read that Ephesians chapter. Yes. He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto what? Unto the day of redemption. When this our body, we put on our spiritual body. Nothing can unsave you. Nothing can unsave you. You can backslide, you can lose fellowship. You can fall out of fellowship. You can even fall out of grace. But nothing can remove you. That is why, this is the reason why we are always being intoxicated by the covenant relationship we have. That because we have the Spirit of God, a token, something that gives you assurance that Jesus is mine. He is my Savior. And that covenant relationship is what? Eternal. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, those are the three things. And the Holy Spirit achieves this in our life. He achieves when we have it confirms to us that our salvation is valid, is genuine. It confirms to us that God is our Father. We belong to Him. We are His children. It also confirms to us that our salvation is what? Secured. That nothing can tamper with it. Somebody appreciate the Lord. So now, from this teaching, you have seen that the blood of Jesus Christ is not, like I said, I used to make that statement, particularly anytime I'm praying, I will say, I am in a covenant sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Is it right to make that statement now? Is it correct to make that statement? What should be the right statement to make now? Because this is a restored church. And in a restored church like this, we are serving God by what? Revelation. We don't just do things because others are doing it. You say, I am in a covenant established by the blood of Jesus, sealed by what? Sealed by what? And you know that when you make that statement, you are making three profound statements that the devil will tremble at. If you make your statement like that, particularly when you are addressing a case, particularly those who are conducting deliverance, I am in a covenant with God, established by the blood of Jesus, sealed by the Holy Ghost. What you are saying is that you are saved, that your salvation, you are sure that you are saved, that your salvation is authentic, it's original, it's not fake. You are telling the devil or whosoever that cares to know that you belong to what? To God. And above all, this relationship is not temporal. Nothing can separate me from Him. And that assurance, I'm telling you, it makes the devil to run away from you. Okay, let me make it practical. Now, if Let me make it practical so that I can drive home the point. Can you give me your phone? Give me your phone. Okay, God bless you. Now, this is your phone. Now, you purchased it. Please, I'm going to ask you now. Maybe in 5 years' time, if I ask you to prove to me that you are the owner of this phone, what will be the evidence? What evidence will you give me that you are the owner of this phone?
I have my receipt with me.
Take. So, no, they did not hear him.
I have my receipt with me.
Did you hear him? Did you hear him? Take. Please celebrate Jesus. Celebrate the Lord Jesus. He said what? He asked. The evidence is not the money that he paid. Are we learning? The money that he paid, what does it represent? The blood of Jesus Christ. It is not the ceiling. Why the receipt? Because in 5 years' time, a policeman said, well, prove to me that you are the owner. Can you still find that money again? Can you still find that money again? What is the proof? What is the seal? What is the visible sign, symbol? The receipt. God bless you. Put your hands together for the Lord. The blood is what was used to purchase the salvation. The covenant relationship was established by the blood. But the sealing, the evidence that you are now in that covenant relationship with him is what? Is the what? The Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You are in a covenant relationship by the blood of Jesus. You are sealed by the token of God's Spirit in you. Any question? Any question?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Sir, I want more understanding. Whereby you said in the book of Ephesians, say Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, say, grieve not the Holy Spirit, for you are sealed the day of redemption.
Yes.
Now, can one be sealed with the Holy Ghost, then at the same time the person will grieve the Holy Spirit?
Of course. Can grieve the Holy Ghost. Can give the Holy Spirit. How do you give the Holy Spirit? It's by ignoring his prompting. The Bible says in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17, say, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Can we take that scripture? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 6-7. Let's take it from 6-6. You can grieve it by ignoring his promptings. He's telling you to do this. He gives you assignment to do. IT, give me 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We are admonished in that scripture. Okay, verse 17. Okay, let's take it from 15. Okay, 16. Did I catch that scripture? 19. Question not the Spirit. Somebody say, let's check 18. Somebody say 18. No. Question not the Spirit. Say, grief. See, quench not the Spirit. That is the scripture. See, you grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to you to be able to obey. To be able to do what? Obey God. And when the Holy Spirit is now telling you what to do, and you are not doing it, what are you doing? You will be grieving the Holy Spirit. Do this, you refuse. Very soon, the Holy Spirit will be silent. Is it clear? Somebody appreciate the Lord now. The final question.
Well done, sir.
Thank you.
It's almost related to the first question.
Okay.
Can eternal security be lost?
Eternal security. Just look at the word. Eternal. Eternal security. You cannot. You can only lose your fellowship.
You can be lost out of fellowship with him. But once it is the Spirit, it doesn't gamble. God does not gamble by giving you the Spirit. Because it is for those, it's for those, it's for new. Read Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 to 30. Let's read it. He said, for whom he did foreknow. Said, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also.
Along their Christian journey.
Along the
Christian journey, when they backslide.
That is, you can be lost out of fellowship. You can lose fellowship of the Father. It's just like, you know, it has been explained clearly here. Once you are a child of your Father, there is nothing you can do, whether you go and kill, whether you go and abort, whether you go, you only lose fellowship. Nothing can make you to stop being his child.
The person, when rapture comes, such backsliders, what do you think of it? Will they be rapturable?
See,
because they have eternal separation.
Backslider. If it's a backslider and they are already a child of God, there we go. They are his people. See, they will only lose the benefit of being in continual fellowship. When there are lots of fellowship, the Satan will buffet them. But that it is eternal. I am, and this is what makes us to serve God. I am my Father. Nothing can separate me. Nothing. Eternal security. Eternal fellowship with him. Nothing. Nothing can stop me from going with him in the rapture. I can only lose the benefit of being in fellowship. What? That is supposed to Paul make it clear. And I want to echo it. He said, be diligent. I say to you this morning, be diligent to make your calling and election sure. Don't assume it. If you are here seated this morning, you are not sure that if today it will call for you, you go with it. Quickly go and do what you are supposed to do. Repent. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And you shall receive what? Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Ensure. Don't assume it. Don't say because you are a leader of a group, you are a prophet, you are a teacher, you are a preacher, and makes you be a covenant. No. Follow the formula, and it shall be well with you in the name of Jesus Christ. If you are blessed, bow down your heads and begin to appreciate the Lord.
In Jesus' name we've prayed. I was very blessed by this teaching.